My name is Fred Dodsworth. I'm the convener of the National Finance Committee, a subtech set of the Pacifica National Board. And we have a draft agenda today, which is in the chat. And I'm going to post it again in the hopes that everybody sees it who's out there. It's a pretty straightforward, simple agenda. We're going to call the roll. We're going to approve the minutes. We're going to elect.
Hang on just a minute, Fred. The first thing we need to do, for one thing, say the time, okay. And we need to call the roll.
It is 5:36 on February 25th. Can I get our Paul to call the roll?
Okay. Can you hear me?
We can.
You can.
Correct.
Okay. I can't hear me, but you can hear me. Okay. Let me call the roll. Please answer up when you hear your name. Christine Avalos.
Here.
Tom Chase.
Here.
Fred Dodsworth.
I am here, sir.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Steve Kusala.
Here.
Arpa Martin here. Myla Reason.
I saw Myla.
I'm here.
James Sagerton.
Here.
Dennis Williams.
I'm here.
Michael Woodson.
I'm here.
Okay. Susan Young.
Here.
Is there anybody else on the call who is not a member of some sort of the committee?
Yes. Donna Carter, director.
Donna, you want to correct the spelling of your name?
Okay.
All right. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Minerva Sanders, director.
This is Alex Steinberg. I'm a director from WBAI.
Any other directors on here?
I think Marianne Martinez intends to come on, and I think that Serene intends to come on.
And I don't know who 510-914-8353 is. Seems to be Aki. Great. Thank you, Aki.
And Aki is recording secretary.
Okay. Is the executive director here?
Here.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a quorum.
Great. So can we approve the agenda?
Or is read there, it out.
What's that?
Read it out. Read the agenda so that people hear it on the stream.
We're convening at 8:30. It's actually 8:38. We did the roll call. We're approving the agenda and approving the minutes, electing committee chair and secretary pro tem for this meeting, which should be very brief. We seek nominations for permanent chair and secretary and authorize balloting by OPA votes. There will be an ED report regarding fiscal year 2024, consolidated financial report, and fiscal year 2025, first quarter financial results, WBAI financial report, with speakers from the national office, Stephanie Wells, Bob Hensley, the interim general manager, Chris, I think it's actually La Pulsa, but, it says Lee Pulsa, business manager, and then we will adjourn to closed section at time certain of 9:30. We will hold all questions until all of the members of the financial committee reporting have made their reports.
I move approval of the agenda.
Hearing no objection, the agenda is approved. You've all received the minutes by now. From February 11th, is there any objection to approving the minutes? Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. Can I call for...
Question. Who moved to approve the minutes?
Point of order. There's no requirement for a motion.
Thank you.
What?
No requirement for motion. I actually.
Of course there is. To approve the minutes, of course you need a motion.
So in order to clear this up, I move approval of the minutes as distributed.
I second that.
Are there any objections?
Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. And let me ask Steve to look into that matter and make sure that he's correct. I suspect he is. We are going to elect committee chair and secretary pro temp for this meeting. Can I hear nominations from the floor?
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized? Right.
Yes, Myla, please.
This is Myla Reason, and I'd like to nominate you, Fred Dodsworth, to be our chair pro tem for this meeting.
Thank you.
Our Paul for stat?
James Haggerton's got his hand up.
Oh. I will.
I'm gonna lower my hand for now. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Al Paul Martin.
Okay. Our Paul Martin. Yes, I nominate James Haggerton.
Any other nominations for chair pro tem? Any nominations for secretary pro tem?
Chair, may I be recognized, James?
Correct. Please.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate R. Paul Martin.
Do I hear any other nominations for secretary pro tem for this meeting?
This is Myla Reason. I'd like to nominate Aki Tanaka to
Aki,
be secretary.
Accept this nomination? Yeah. Aki? Do you accept this nomination?
No, I decline for that.
Okay. Any other nominations for secretary?
And this is secretary pro tem?
Correct. I didn't hear what you said, Myla.
I was asking, just because you said for secretary, just to.
I meant pro tem.
Okay. Thank you.
Hearing no other recommendations for secretary pro tem, I believe the nominations are closed. I guess we're going to, do you want to speak up? Let's have James and I and R. Paul. I don't think R. Paul, do you want to speak up on this?
Well, if there's nobody running against me, there's no need to use the time to speak up about it.
Precisely. So, James, do you want to go ahead and speak up why you want to be – what benefits you bring to this organization as pro tem?
I'd be happy to let you go first, Fred, if you want.
I was chair of the governance committee most recently. I have experienced many, many boards. I've launched a number of corporations, and – I believe that one of the critical paths is to get work done and not spend a lot of time bickering and playing with Robert's rules. If I am chair pro tem, I will run this meeting as cleanly and swiftly as possible. Our time is valuable, and it seems really unnecessary to waste our time. So I would happily take your vote as chair pro tem. James?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'll say that I was the past chair of this committee a year ago, for several years. We did get a lot done. We did follow Robert's rules. We did have some bickering, but that all goes with territory, I think. And, I think if anyone listens to those meetings, they'll find that they were collegially run and, they were, not divisive, not rancorous, for the most part. And I think that we need to continue that kind of a attitude and a demeanor in this committee. It's a very important committee. It is very important that we follow the rules. After all, this is the finance committee. It's very important to do things correctly. So, that's my statement. Thank you.
We have our secretary, R. Paul. I assume you would call for a vote at this, or I would call for a vote. And I don't really know how you want to do these open voting, or is this okay?
Well, at the last meeting, we were told that the PNB does a pro tem by a roll call vote. So,
good. So let's do that.
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name, and one second, let me put the names in there, and there we go. Okay, please answer up when you hear your name and say either Fred Dodsworth or James Sagerton. Christine Avalos.
Fred Dodsworth.
Tom Chase.
James Sagerton.
Fred Dodsworth.
Fred Dodsworth.
Lyndon Foley.
Fred Dodsworth.
Steve Cusella.
Fred Dodsworth.
R. Paul Martin. James Sagerton. Myla Reason.
Fred Dodsworth.
James Sagerton.
I'll vote for myself. Surprise, surprise.
Dennis Williams.
James Sagerton.
Michael Woodson.
Fred Dodsworth.
Okay. 6-4 Fred Dodsworth, 4-4 James Sagerton.
Thank you. I will do my very best to represent you well for this meeting. Thank you. And I assume that since no one's running against Paul, we will note that he is our pro tem secretary. Okay, let's go back to the agenda. We have seeking nominations for permanent chair and secretary and authorizing vote, ballot voting by open vote.
I move that we authorize balloting by open vote for the positions of permanent chair and permanent secretary.
Myla Reason seconds.
Paul, you want to, I guess we don't, do we act, are there any objections to that? Hearing no objections, let's hear nominations for the floor for our permanent chair and permanent secretary.
This is Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
I would nominate Fred Dodsworth for chair.
Thank you, sir.
Akio Tanaka for secretary.
Akio, will you accept that nomination?
Yes.
Thank you. May I hear any more nominations from the floor for those two positions?
I would not. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. I would nominate James Sagerton for chair.
James, do you accept that nomination?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Dennis Williams, I see your hand is up, sir.
No longer necessary.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we hear any other nominations for either secretary or chair? Hearing no other nominations.
I will not decline if somebody nominates me.
You could self-nominate if you wish.
Chair, may I be recognized?
Certainly.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate R. Paul Martin. I apologize. We were doing a little back and forth there between the positions.
Okay, it's fine. Are there any other nominations for permanent chair and permanent secretary? You will get an OPA vote in your emails, and those will come out. I assume those will come out tonight.
Soon, because Mr. Chair, if I could address this. The person who has conducted OPA vote for us at the national board has been Aki, because he is a candidate. I have requested Julie Hewitt, who is also very familiar with OPA vote, has conducted balloting that way, to conduct this ballot for us. I'll have to get in touch with her after this meeting.
Okay. So we're now going to go on, I assume, unless there's any objections, to our ED financial report for 2024 and the first quarter of 2025, and followed by the WBAI financial report from Stephanie Wells and Bob Henley and Chris LaPulsa. We're going to hold questions till after everybody has spoken. So please, Britt, pull out your notepads, write down your questions, and then we'll have them answer at the end. I turn the meeting over to you, Stephanie.
Okay, I'll make this very quick. Thank you. The
Fiscal year-end 24 consolidated financials were shared with the National Finance Committee at the last meeting, and we give the individuals and the treasurers and the general managers time to request any revisions. We receive no revision requests for those consolidated financials. Therefore, they can be distributed to the LSBs. The PNB received it at their last PNB meeting as well. And since there were no revisions on those financials, then we can proceed moving forward, completing the fiscal year 25 Q1 consolidated financials, since some of those numbers need to be added to those columns in the beginning part of that. So we are finalizing the Q1. And again, feel free to share those 24 consolidated year ends with your LSBs.
For our listening audience, do you want to give a little overview?
Okay, let me pull them up. Sorry about that, because we went over them during the last ones.
That was for the PNB, but I don't know if
Actually, we went over them in the Finance Committee, the National Finance Committee.
Then we can move on to the next issue.
Okay, alrighty, okay. Thanks.
We are looking now at a WBAI financial report from Stephanie Wells again.
Yes, I'm just going to kind of give a brief little sort of overview and then turn it over to Bob and to Chris, who have a lot of the other details with the numbers. And then obviously I'll be able to answer questions as we kind of ping pong back and forth with all of that. So one of the things that I just kind of wanted to, why we're focusing on WBAI, is that we have had that is one of the stations that's been in a deficit for quite a few years now. But we do want to stress that, you know, why we made changes and why we're now again focusing on it, as we will with the other stations as well, is that the business model that was working at WBAI needed a significant overhaul. We had the practice of selling premiums, which was violating FCC regulations, and we had substantial expenses that were including the purchase of a lot of high cost premiums, and those high cost premiums weren't often, they were not being properly managed, the distribution of getting those premiums out. And this approach was inconsistent with our mission at Pacifica and also just the basic fundamental principles of non-commercial radio. Additionally, now that we've changed management, we're able to get in and just kind of take a, you know, try to decipher things that were happening. There were a lot of serious legal liabilities that we have been actively addressing since they've come to our attention. We have made significant progress. We've increased the monthly donor base by 204 donors. We are actively re-engaging major donors, and that has increased significantly, as well as securing multiple and consistent sponsorships and grants. And a lot of those sponsorships have also supported national programming. And that mission base, in addition to the funding changes and the programmatic changes, we're also focusing on developing mission-driven programming that much better aligns with Pacifica's objectives and actually serves the needs of our community. And this effort is being carried out in collaboration with all of our with a majority of our affiliates and our sister stations. And we're working together creating that content. It was very obvious with the programming that was created during the conventions, the political conventions, as well as political as election night coverage. And that collaboration with our affiliates and with our sister station is still continuing, and it's being utilized for programming that is being used across our network. So it's great to be able to see WBAI as the cornerstone of creating national programming. So that's just kind of a generic overview. If Bob or Chris want to go into some of the financial details.
Sure. Thanks, guys. I think that this is probably the first time I've met most of you. So just by way of quick background, I had started my career at BAI, and then I ended up, thanks to the training and opportunity that I got at BAI, going on to a full career with WNYC and National Public Radio. And so around 2013, 2014, I worked as interprogram director. At that time, under the current the management that was there, I expressed my reservations about this model of relying on merchandising for a nonprofit license, having coming out of a long career in public radio at WNYC particularly, and knowing that aside from a tote bag or a mug or a New Yorker subscription, we weren't able to do that. I brought that attention to the attention at the time, the executive director, Summerice, and I was terminated within 2 days. Subsequently to that, I would say like 10 years later, I was contacted to start a program 3 years ago, Labor Day, called What's Going On? And it was to be a labor focus because that's been my focus. Having worked for the chief leader and a number of other, chief leader is the major civil service paper in New York City. And so I was going along doing that. And then at some point, former management wanted to preempt me and said that they needed to do some kind of premium thing. And so I said, how about if I got $20,000 in sustaining sponsorships that would comply with the FCC regulations? That is just a simple identifier that requires no exchange of merchandise, as I had done throughout, you know, the many years I was in public broadcasting with WNYC. That was somewhat of a management received that as good news. I was not preempted. Then around, I would say, May, it occurred to me with the election coming and having some familiarity with the quality of particularly the Pacifica affiliates, that there might be an opportunity to raise some money to do programming, because I felt that the organization had suffered with the exodus of Democracy Now! Historically. It's a great institution. It's created a wonderful opportunity, but that there was kind of a void. I was also a veteran of the Pacifica Network News, so it was my hope, and, you know, at 69, maybe to help create something. And so I was successful in raising, about $100,000 to commit it to the idea of doing public affairs programming with the Pacifica brand, specifically bringing live coverage of Reverend Barber and his march June 29th, and then a series of election convention coverage in Milwaukee and Chicago. Worked very closely with Ursula Rutenberg, and we came up with an idea. Wouldn't it be great to find low-power FM stations that are part of Pacifica in those communities, maybe in neighborhoods that aren't so well off, and then build a national broadcast capability and provide after-scale pay for the young people that were aspiring to careers in radio journalism? We succeeded doing that, and in that period of time, BAI was into crisis, and I was asked to come in and assume a leadership role as interim program director and general manager. During that period of time, I then, Keziah Glow was brought in as interim program director. And so I have subsequently raised a great deal more money, turning to labor movement particularly, who have come in and now have provided by no means the resources to solve all of our problems, but it bought us some time to begin to get away from merchandising and to carry on the idea that the programming has to be the premium. And that particularly in these times, what we were doing was extraordinary. And all we needed to do is to not interrupt the continuity of community interest, which is what happens when you preempt and preempt for merchandising so the producers can't get a foothold. And so I've been working with Keziah, and we've recently brought in Rebecca Miles, who is a veteran journalist of international reputation, who also has a background in grants administration, and Chris Lapuza, who will make a presentation taking you through some of the numbers. We elevated him from being the webmaster to being a business manager, because in essence, he had been doing that because of the huge volume of unsatisfied premiums, which haunt us. We've made some progress, about 11% of them. But this was a major reputational loss, because as any producer who does public events will tell you, one of the first things that they will encounter is an individual complaining about the fact that they didn't get a premium. And so that liability exists as a consequence of the Federal Trade Commission, which requires either 30 to 60 day delivery of products, and it's many instances, it's gone on for years. What we have been able to do is we've not missed payroll since we started. That is something that BAI used to do. And so we had a pledge drive in December. We asked for 125,000. We got 144,000. This was also the first time we set up a phone system that worked. The phone system that existed before was ACD, which cost the settlement. It was 97 cents a minute. It was a commercial outfit. And, it ended up, of course, costing Pacifica dearly, thanks to Stephanie's negotiation. And, we were able to satisfy that with, it was like $134,000 of a liability that was paid off with the sale of the KPFK building. That said, it's been replaced now by an 800 line, to no cost to us, that is able to be monitored from the homes of our volunteers, because we still are concerned, even though we are open to the public, we have to be nimble and diverse. And so we've rebuilt the relationship with our major donors, and Chris will share some of those numbers. And then also what I was really heartened by is a third of that $144,000 was $50,000 that unions had signed up a second time. So that represents unions that had been with us for the conventions and felt like, hey, this is something worthwhile. We want to see this continue. And so it is a viable form. And so we're now up, as Stephanie said, to 1,300 BI buddies. That means around $24,000 of recurring income. We, thanks to a bequest, we were able to bring down the balance at the tower, which is some $130,000, $140,000. It's back up to $90,000 now. And so we are now in a pledge drive where we are hoping to make $250,000. It's my estimation that the thing we need to keep in mind here is you cannot compare the financials of the prior business model, because what was happening was there was debt that was being accumulated in the form of unsatisfied premiums. And this is in the tens and tens of thousands of dollars, not only to mention the criminal liability, because if, as an entity, you have people that are continuing to get paid, even though they're not satisfying the underlying premiums beyond that 30 to 90 days, the institution, the individuals have a civil and a problem. They have to be aware that that is something that was hollowing us out from the inside. When we raise money now, all we have to do is produce programming. That's it. Right now, when we our payroll is around $15,000 every 2 weeks, but Pacifica rightly adds a $7,000 processing charge that's part of making sure that if someone falls short of their payroll or doesn't make healthcare payments, that that is in the system. And so the other thing we're working on is trying to get to some sense of the subcarrier revenue. Prior to the pandemic, at least in BAI, there were two subcarriers that were worth $7,500 a month, not money that we were looking for, but certainly would help stabilize Pacifica. Apparently, during COVID, that was suspended by the prior executive director. We are looking forward to making this pledge drive. We have raised like $32,000 in the first week, and we are continuing to get unions to make commitments and to either ones that were initially part of it. Right now we have unions representing, and we'll be glad to supply the list, unions representing 2 million households. And considering the organization hasn't been able to receive money from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, that is a significant shift. And the unions include the American Federation of Government Employees, which has now reached such prominence because they're being targeted by the Trump-Musk government. Chris, would you like to go through some of the numbers with folks? Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, sure, I can do that. Hi, everybody. I'm Chris LaPalooza. To give you a little background on myself, as Bob had said, I was brought into WBAI in late 2019 as the webmaster, so basically maintaining the website. Through, I guess, some technology background, I ended up leading some of the initiative to move us into the Allegiance fundraising system, which at the time the entire Pacifica Foundation was onboarding. And through that, I ended up getting a front row seat to a lot of the donations that are coming in, expenses, premiums especially, And it sort of gave me some insight into how we were fundraising and some of the liabilities against that. So I can definitely speak to that confidently to give you some additional context. I only gained access to the WBI bank account at the beginning of this month. So I'm still trying to feel my way through learning what our commitments are every month, what our cash flow is. So bear with me, but I'm happy to answer any questions that I can or follow up with any additional responses that I can provide after this meeting if I don't have the answer for you. I can share my screen and give you some overview numbers, and feel free to interrupt me if you have any questions. I'll try my best to answer. So I wanted to go through our station's monthly expenses, the business model overview, sort of looking at what we were doing before versus what we're doing now, and then discuss some of the major donations and sustaining donations we've been receiving. Current monthly expenses. So right now, as Bob had referenced, our payroll per month is around $33,000. Pacifica payroll funding, $14,000. Contractors, $6,000. You can see the additional breakdown here on what we're committed to pay every month. It's somewhere between $80,000 to $100,000 a month that we need to pay. And it's worth noting, I have the latest number from Durst off their latest invoice. While we owe them $18,000 a month, we currently have an outstanding balance of about $110,000 with them. That includes the monthly fees that we're paying, a loan that was taken on at some point in time. There's a repayment plan that's associated with that. And then just basic fees and utilities. So this is what we're looking at every month that we need to be able to spend in order to sustain the station. What I can speak most confidently to is the premium model. So Bob had already touched upon this for a bit. The premium model we were doing violated the FCC consent decree. And I know that people at the station have legitimate concerns about some of the maybe educational materials that we were offering, but the way in which they were offered wasn't exactly following the FCC's model. And I think more concerningly, as everybody knows, we dedicated a lot of airtime really more to what ends up being commercial pitching of products. Gary Null, Christine Blasdale, beauty products, health supplements, all those types of things that we probably should not have been promoting on our airwaves. And this obviously caused an issue with the FCC, but it caused an even bigger problem with our donors and with our financial obligations. So the appeal of this model obviously was that it generated a significant amount of cash flow. You could pitch something on air, you receive cash in when people pledge for these items. But what became apparent to me, and if we look through our record keeping, there was really no plan or intention to fulfill the majority of the premiums that we pitched, which is, frankly, it almost hurt me personally to be supporting the infrastructure to take in these donations while knowing that people are pledging money that there was almost no way or intention to fulfill. I've done a full review of what we have outstanding based on what I've seen in our Allegiant system. There's over $100,000 of unfulfilled premiums. And you know, we need to determine how we're going to account for that. But it's a substantial financial obligation. And I get a lot of inbound messages from previous donors, people looking for premiums, people disputing charges when they are waited months, they haven't received any premium in the mail. And people who have, you know, I have to say rightfully so, said that they would never donate to this station again because they feel cheated, which is unfortunate. And that's not the type of reputation that WBAI or the Pacifica Network want to maintain. Some premiums, they're no longer available even if we wanted to fulfill them, which, you know, is a problem in itself. We'd pitch premiums and maybe not even think about fulfilling for 6 or 7 months. And I feel like in a world where people are used to purchasing something on Amazon and getting it in the mail the next day, just the expectations of what we were trying to do and the reality of how we could fulfill this were just completely out of sync. So while this model definitely generated cash flow, which we could use to cover expenses, there was never an accounting for the financial obligation tied to these premiums. We could look at the realized revenue, but nobody was accounting for the expenses associated with that. And it's really caused a major problem and put us in a hole. And, you know, that's something that we need to overcome and sort of retrain our listeners to understand that, as Bob had said, the programming is really the premium. You're making a donation to the station to support your favorite producers, your favorite programs, the content that you're receiving, not for, you know, health supplements or for beauty products or for things like that. In the new model, since Bob has taken over, we've seen our major donations increase substantially. So while we were taking in a lot of donations before from smaller premium offers, Bob has focused us on getting larger contributions. Some of that's corporate, not corporate like Verizon, but a law firm in New York City that supports victims of 9/11 and people who have had to deal with the fallout from those terrorist attacks. Foundations, we've had some major gifts from some foundations, which have been helpful. And then unions, as Bob had said, representing, I believe you said over 1 million households.
Who made?
2 million households. So that's been substantial. And I think it reorients the focus of the station and how we should do fundraising. Bob obviously has a very large presence within the union community, and he's able to go and ask for contributions to help support these unions on our air and to deliver those kinds of stories. I think we can potentially replicate that model with other interest groups that our producers are fulfilling. And this could prove to be something that we can scale. So that's what we're hoping for. In addition to that, as Stephanie had referenced before, we've been able to increase our monthly sustaining donors. Those are our BAI buddies. Those are currently generating $24,000 a month. We have aspirations of hopefully doubling that, which would close a significant funding gap. That's all the information that I have currently. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Great.
Thank you, Chris. I did have some addendum, if I may.
Please.
So one of the things that we've been trying to do is work with, realize that we have resources and figure out a way that we can continue to grow the mission and make sure that we're funding it along the way. And I was approached by Chiara Spelling Torres, who is a Brennan scholar on campaign finance and is at the Stetson University and is a public intellectual on the issue of the oligarchs and global campaign financing. And she'd been on the programs, a number of programs, Democracy Now!, our program. And so she said that the Brennan Center, you know, she was interested in doing a 12-part series on campaign finance in the age of Trump and Musk. And so I said to her, well, Professor, this would be original work. She said, yes. I said, well, if you could fund, if the Brennan Center would fund your editorial work, then we might be able to work something out. So we're now in the process of drafting a contract. We will produce that for $12,000. And the Brennan Center is coming up with the $50,000 to cover the professor's work. And so this is a way of using the resources to advance programming that's first rate, and at the same time make sure they were adding revenue and making a little bit of a profit in the process. So that's kind of the direction we're moving in.
I've got my hand raised. May I ask a question?
Can we ask the Chris to close out the
Sure.
Thanks, Chris.
I see Myla's hand. I'm sure that there are many people who have questions. Myla, well, go ahead and ask your question.
Oh, thank you. I think I heard you say that there are about $100,000 in unpaid premium. Well, what you're calling premiums, and I do have a question about the linguistic question, which is that we had been told during our FCC programming that we're supposed to avoid the term premium and instead use the term thank you gift. But I keep hearing Robert Henley and Stephanie Wells and Chris all referring to premium. So that there's just put that aside for a minute. That's not what I really want to ask about. I would like to know whether you have a comprehensive list of all of the people who feel that they are owed thank you gifts, I'll call them, and whether you have a plan, whether you've been reaching out to people and asking if you can make some kind of an arrangement with them, or how you're planning to deal with that reputational harm.
So I would like to say there's a few things. One is, unfortunately, because we sold these premiums as an historical matter, we need to describe what it was they were offered as. We've signed a consent decree subsequently, but the reality is we have to deal in the world that we created. That is what they were. That's not what we're doing anymore. Number two, I consulted former New Jersey Attorney General Peter Harvey and a former U.S. attorney, and also brought in Stephanie Wells and Susan Young to get a consultation about our Federal Trade Commission exposure. We have been working through the list. We reduced it by 11%, and we're also actively working that list on a regular basis. And we've had people try to offer some kind of compensation. We're not running from it. We're not hiding from it. We're not waiting to get caught. We're facing it. There does need to be there are some of these premiums that are not available any longer. And so I also will say that since we stopped selling things on the air, and Chris, I think you pointed this out, or one of our call folks pointed out, not as many people are calling in looking for the premiums because they realize we've turned a corner on it. So we've been fully transparent. We're trying to make everybody whole. We just wanted this to be brought to your attention, because there's been a lot of discussion about the great halcyon days of all the revenue and a failure to appreciate the underside of it.
Mr. Secretary,
can I just follow up and ask what distinction you make between premium and thank you gift?
Well, no, thank you gift, first of all, we're not even doing that now because we're still trying to find our way. What would be called an incidental thing, like a tote bag of nominal value, whereas the past legacy issue was a program premium or product where the focus of the programming was selling the premium. And that's what we're not doing anymore, but we do have to deal with the legacy issue of what is very much on the record and on many people's minds.
Thank you.
Yeah, so as we move forward, they are thank you gifts. This is making reference to products that were being sold on the air, and the list that Chris was able to pull back in July when we first, you know, he had brought this to prior management's attention, but he, you know, wasn't really paid attention to, is that there were 3,643 unfulfilled premiums. Only 183 of them were less than 90 days old, and there were some as long as 1,136 days. From when the donation was given that haven't been fulfilled. So that's a lot of individuals that we're reaching out to, that we're, talking to, that we're trying to reconnect and we're trying to rebuild our reputation with.
Yeah, I have comprehensive lists to the best of my ability of everything that was, everything that we've committed to. And we receive feedback from people from time to time looking for those gifts, like I had said. I'll give you an example. We would have a program on the air maybe once every few weeks, maybe a few times a month, where we're offering water filters. $250, you get a water filter. Water filter to fulfill is $127. So, you know, while we're realizing the revenue of the pledge at the time it's taken, the reality is we only really receive half of that money because half of it's committed to fulfilling the premium, to ordering the item and shipping it. And we have almost 180 of those that we still never sent out. Some of them close to 1,000 days old, like Stephanie had said. And when you pitch something like that on the air and someone's waiting a year 2 years, even 6 months for their premium, they hear you offering it again and saying that you're going to fulfill it. They still don't have theirs yet. It causes a lot of distress amongst people. That's where we used to see a lot of disputed charges. That's where we receive a lot of complaints. So, you know, moving away from that, even not even referencing these items on the air anymore has made a difference, which has been helpful.
Mr. Segerton, your hand's up.
Yeah, I have many questions. So I'll try to focus. I want to say that this narrative about what went on before is completely different from what we were told at the time. And what we need to verify some of this is reports. We need financial reports that are up to date. We need reports on, you know, the unfulfilled premiums. We need reports on how many people there are that are outstanding. We're getting anecdotal information, but we're not getting comprehensive reports. So, my question first is to Stephanie. But also, I guess, to Bob, you know, we moved our finances, we moved our banking to the Bank of America, and then it turned out that the national office was paying our bills and making the decisions about where the money would be spent, at least for most stations. There's one station in particular that's not doing that, as I understand it. But we haven't been getting the information that we need, the reports to keep us up to date on what's going on. And the reports have been very, very late. Now, this was true when I was chair of the National Finance Committee over a year ago. It's continued to be true. I think you're catching up a little bit. I understand that there are a couple of more people on at the national office to help with this. But when do you expect that we will have the finance reports up to date, so we have, you know, up to the moment information? And also, when can we expect to get some comprehensive reports on this, rather than just anecdotal examples that are making the point, but, you know, maybe missing some bigger points that may be hidden in the piecemeal repetition of these stories?
Okay, anybody want to answer that question?
Well, the bank statements have always been available and have been available to the general manager. They've been available to anyone at the station that is requesting them. I have forwarded the monthly bank statements to the general manager on a regular basis. I know that there's individuals that were on the finance committee and the WBAI LSB that received those statements. The national office does not make the decision as to what bills can and cannot be paid. We have discussions with the general manager talking about what bills should be paid based upon the funds that they have in the bank, which they have access to. Any bill, as soon as we moved over everything to Bank of America, we have an email account that's strictly for invoices. When a bill goes to a station, it's scanned, or the email is just forwarded to this specific email address that goes right to Markeisha and myself. That's accounting@pacifica.org. And then that gets in the process of a purchase order. So it has never been that the national office is determining what bills are being paid without letting that branch or that division know what's being paid.
But we don't have access to the money, just to be clear. All we have access to is the PayPal account, which is something that we have discretion on. And so when we started paying rent and negotiated with 388, we had new landlords. I know the prior administration wasn't paying rent. We felt it was important to stabilize that relationship. And so we came up with this $2,500. We document it, and we make sure that the Pacifica executive director and Markeisha has a record of it. And similarly, the same thing happens, for instance, if we have a relief engineer who's going to do a day because someone's called out sick, one of the union engineers, we'll make sure to pay that person through PayPal. And then, as we just went through the tax season, that is sent to Markeisha, and that generates a tax document.
Steve, you have a question?
Yeah.
James, can you put your hand down, please?
There was a question about reports. Were reports being delivered during the whole period when we weren't performing on the premiums? And were those reports being delivered to the NFC and the Pacifica Treasurer?
What year or what are you determining when we were dealing with the premiums and merchandising and products or recently? I know as far as the finances, we have the financial records, the consolidated financials, as I stated earlier, up to the end of the fiscal year 24. And because there were no changes or revisions in that, you can't work on the next set of financials. If there's any changes, then you have to go back and, like, if we did Q1 right now and there were changes with the other ones, that would impact the Q1.
I think, if I may, I think the question was, did the national executive and the board, were they aware of the details? And by the way, we have the granular details that can be supplied to anyone, but we are concerned about privacy issues because this was a trade issue. People called and asked for it. I don't know. We could probably offer some kind of redacted thing, but Chris has the details on this. So that wasn't supplied to you before, was it, Stephanie?
No, not before. The list that I received in July, that was the unfulfilled premium list and also a breakdown of the premiums and the cost of what was being raised by some of those premium sales had been sent to me and had been forwarded to. So I remember discussing it, meetings all become a blur. It was either most likely discussed at a WBAI, LSB, or net, or one of their finance committee meetings, or with the NFC around probably July and August, because that paperwork had been attached to an email.
So that was when after the change of management happened is when.
Correct. That was the first time we had ever seen an actual list of the number of unfulfilled premiums.
I think part of the problem to that end, if I could just add something, we would report on the revenue, but there was never contact with a vendor for a bill to fulfill premiums. And now there's like an obligation that we need to fulfill. Like we would accept orders for premiums and then not even worry about fulfilling them for, 6 months, a year, never. So, there was nothing financially to report on that would have indicated the commitment or the obligation that we had. So it sort of obscured the financials that we were looking at previously.
Mr. Chair,
do you have a comment to make?
Yeah, about this. I attended an LSB meeting that Stephanie did where she announced it to the LSB. I believe it was in July. And we have had that list. I'm a little surprised that the WBAI LSB and WBAI treasurer didn't ask for it, didn't receive it, didn't review it. We will provide it in executive session tonight so that you have it in hand. The fact that that the governance was totally unaware of this is really stunning.
Steve, can you lower your hand? I have a question, and then James Staggers got his hands up.
You kind of missed my point, and it was that there's a demand for reports, but it doesn't sound like reports will actually lead to the solution.
Well, the solution is basically what Bob has been putting into place, which is changing the business model on how funds are raised for the station. We have a list of the 3,600 unfulfilled premiums and the names that are attached to those that Chris has run. And we have been reaching out to those individuals trying to either fulfill that premium or offer them, something else in return. We've actively reached out because that is a gross violation with the Federal Trade Commission, reaching out to them to make them aware of the violations that we know that we are in right now, to let them know that we are doing what we can to fulfill it, steering our programming away from a merchandising premium-based
programming and actually having community-based programming that is also increasing with our listener donations and also our sponsorships and bringing back a lot of our major donors. And then also just basically uncovering a lot of other things that we're now in the process of repairing at the station with employee wages, with our relationship with SAG-AFTRA, other things that we can talk about within the closed session.
Yeah, I'd like to speak if I can. My experience as a journalist of 30 years in daily and more magazines, newspapers, and what have you, is that the narrative is the key. And I know that Bob comes from the same background, or at least I assume he does from what I've heard. And I think it's really critical that we create a brief narrative of what has occurred and what we are doing to change it, that we send all 3,000 of these people that we owe things to and ask them for their forgiveness and their support. Ask them for their continued support of WBAI and to come back into the fold. Some will do it. Some of them have died. Some of them have moved out of the area. But if we make this effort and send out those brief notes about how we are taking charge of WBAI and changing the narrative and changing the programming to suit our mission, and we are looking for their support, I think you may find a lot of them who haven't seen this product in 3 years anyway are going to be far more open-hearted than you expect. Some of them will not be.
But we've experienced that already, just to be honest, in these encounters since we've actively engaged this, but you're so right. I agree.
Thank you. I'm going to call Paul Martin next because he has not spoken, and then we'll go to James Egerton, and then we got to go into closed session. So, Paul, do you wish to speak?
Yes, okay. People being surprised that some of us didn't ask for financial information, we have. We have for a number of years, going back and long before current management got there, we had the local finance committee passing motions saying we want, and we gave a list of what we wanted before every meeting. And in some things we were told, you're not going to get that, period. And in other things, there was sort of a bit of an effort, but not a great effort. So in terms of not getting information, yeah, we've been bothered about this for a long time. And it doesn't go back to simply immediate prior management. It goes back farther. Trying to get financial information has been very difficult. And I'll just leave it at that for now.
It will not be difficult in the future because I will not tolerate it. I don't think this particular NFC will tolerate that. If we can't get the information, then we need to replace the people who are not giving us the information. James, you had one.
Well, that'd be good.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say to Bob and Stephanie that we actually did reach out to the people who weren't getting their premiums. Oh, I want to say it was 5 years ago, but as the older I get, the longer ago things were, and I think they weren't that long ago. But we actually came in, we made phone calls to the people who hadn't had their premiums fulfilled, and we found an amazing reservoir of support for the station, even from people who didn't get their premiums. We were able to offer them substitute premiums. We even got extra donations out of some of them, which we weren't asking, we weren't really pushing that. We were just trying to make them whole on the premiums that they hadn't gotten. And it was very successful. We took care of several thousand of them with no real cost to the station. We used other premiums that we had. I'm using the wrong words. The thank you gifts that we had. That can be very successful. I also wanted to ask, has there been an FTC complaint, or are we just talking about that?
We're 3 minutes over time certain. So I really think that we need to adjourn and go into executive session where you can ask that question in a few minutes.
Well, that's not really an executive session question. Could I just get a quick answer?
It is an executive session question. It's a legal matter, and we've already been skirting that.
Well, when you
consciously,
it's a petition. It's a public document. I mean, it should be a public document.
Okay, I'm going to call this meeting adjourned, and we're going to reassemble immediately. And that.